morning, Matthias.
Hi, Eva. How are you
Hi
doing?
there. We've known each other for, I don't know, about 30 years now, and you always inspire me with your view of the world, and it always helps me when you tell me something about it. So, can you tell me today what you think about the corona crisis and what's happening in the world at the moment?
I think the current situation is really unique and very special. We haven't seen this in our lifetime. I think what is really special is the combination of the virus on the one hand, and then our culture of fear on the other hand. And this combination makes it very special and also very dangerous in the end. And what slows down the world in the moment is not just the virus, but it's the things we do to well, to fight the virus as well. This is a bit of a strange situation. We take measures, but at the same time, there is the risk that we destroy quite a lot of things in the process of saving us from the virus. Not only in terms of economics, which is bad enough, but also in our in terms of our self-understanding as a free and open society.
Why do you think free society is at risk at the moment? So what's happening?
I think we all could much better live with and accept reglementations of everyday life and accept that some things are not possible in the moment. I think we could accept that if we believe that politicians are really serious about saving our freedoms and saving our rights. But I don't have this trust in politicians in the moment. And this is why I'm thinking quite a lot about the time after the virus. I think it's very interesting to see how prepared people are when it comes to abandon normality these days and to accept special measures. I mean, in a lot of cases it is acceptable and it is reasonable as well, but if you think of each moral panic that society has suffered from in the last years, and each wave of anxiety, it always leaves some, well, it always leaves some problems. Freedoms get smaller and smaller with every wave that society suffers from. And we all know that fear is the biggest enemy of freedom. And so I think there is a real problem that our society might not recover from the corona crisis and reach the level of normality and liberty that we had before the crisis. And for years and years, society was, well, got used to abandon normality, to shut down events, close down public spaces, and this is deeply rooted in society. And we even feel these in times when there is less risk around. And today, now, when there is a real problem and a real risk, society finds it difficult to, well, to act in the right way and to find the right measurement. So the danger today not only comes from the virus, but the virus has got so heavy consequences because our social immune system, well, is weakened. It's
So
weak.
why do you think our sort of the immune system of society is so weak these days?
I think it's because our society is deeply shaped by the culture of fear and has been for the last decade. And this culture of fear also includes a lot of distrust amongst humans, but also distrust against ourselves as humanity and against our capacities to meet challenges and to solve problems. And sometimes it's getting even worse. It's not only that we doubt that we can solve the problems. Much more often we get used to the idea that we ourselves, we are the source of the problem. and the way that we live. So globalization, modern medicine, technology, high living standard, all this is seen as a problem today. So we are used to be frightened, and we're used to be frightened of ourselves. And now, in this crisis, we come we get in real trouble now. Because on one hand, people are told to stay cool and calm and help out each other. On the other hand, there's this culture of fear and of mistrust. And in a complicated situation like ours in the moment, people tend to respond even more irrational. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we also see that people try hard and do everything to respond in a useful, in a positive, in a reasonable manner. And not only on the level of scientists, where cooperation and collaboration works, and I'm absolutely positive that they're going to find a solution, but also in terms of, you know, neighborhood helping out each other, there are these tendencies, and this is good, and this is, but even there, you feel that fears and anxieties and our obsession with risk is really slowing us down to overcome this crisis.
Right. So if you dare look into the future, so how do you think will things develop?
Well, I'm not a physician or virologist or something, so I cannot tell you anything about that. But I think we will experience more closing down of social life. This will happen. And we're not talking about closing down shops, but in Germany, there's this phrase going around: social distancing is the issue of the day. And even Chancellor Merkel said that we should slow down social life as far as possible. I think this is a problematic phrase. I know what she wants to say in terms of don't spread the virus, but slowing down social life means something else. I would say, as it happens, what we need is the opposite. We need a society that actually strengthens social life and strengthens solidarity and this helping out culture. This is what we need. And I think we have to be careful that this virus does not destroy social life. So in a sense, you could say, well, shaking hands might not be the best thing, but reaching out hands and helping out each other, this is what we need today. And yes, we have to be careful and all that, and we have to be cool, stay cool, but I think we also have to stay critical. And in times of panics and pandemics, this is the times where authoritarian ideas get very popular. And also people try to use this situation to clean up society a bit and to make it less free and less open. And this is why skepticism is needed, even and especially in times of crisis. And what we also think, we also have to understand that there are no national solutions for this problem. What we need more than ever before is international collaboration and solidarity. And not only on the level of scientists, but also when it comes to our thinking. Yeah? Mm-hmm. I think when this crisis could teach us anything, it is that we have to start to take globalization more seriously than we did in the past. Globalization is not only about goods and finances free floating, but it's also about our thinking. And this is what we have to get out of this crisis.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, you know, in terms of sort of what every individual can do? Because a lot of people are really insecure and they don't know how to behave. So do you have any recommendation for people how to, you know, behave in the next following weeks?
I think, first of all, we have to accept that it is understandable that people are afraid and people have these anxieties and are insecure about how they should behave. This is a very normal and very human response to the situation. What I think is, you see it with this hoster shopping, these people who buy masses of stuff in supermarkets, people are afraid. But what is even worse than this irrational behavior is the fact that everyone now starts making jokes about anxious people. I understand the impulse, you know, making jokes and laughing is always good to reduce pressure, you know, I understand that. But this spread of, jokes about anxieties is a bit anti-human as well, you know. It really takes the piss out of people who are afraid. And it reminds me a bit of when I was a child and my parents sent me down into the dark cellar to get something, I was always afraid. And then when I was afraid in the dark cellar, I started whistling to make myself heard and to shy away the monsters in the cellar. And this joke making culture today is a bit like whistling in the dark cellar, I think. And this is not a very useful way to responding to the crisis. So I think we neither need mouth masks, nor do we need bad jokes about anxious people. But what we need is empathy and a culture of helping out each other and of looking after each other if help is needed. So again, instead of joking, it might be reasonable just to talk to each other. You know, why not, you know, go to the old lady next door and ask her if she's got anyone who brings her, who does the shopping for her? Because why should we, people that are part of a risk group, why should we send them to the supermarket? You know, when I go shopping, I could bring her stuff as well. So why not asking that? Why not talking to each other? Not only in terms of, exchanging views how bad things are, that we're all going to die soon, but rather about talking about what can we do to improve the situation, to help out each other in the area where we live and where we know people. So, you know, talking about how we can get through these difficult times might be a very useful thing. And I think we have to dig out our old human behaviors a bit. You know, they're covered in dust of everyday life, but they need it now. And I think we have to inject kind of humaneness into our everyday life again, not only in terms of humanitarian aid, and but also in the sense of that we have to start again to take ourselves as humans more seriously, also in terms of everyday life and how we see the world and how we can improve it, but also in terms of humanity. So humaneness also in a humanist sense. I think if we can learn anything from this crisis is that humanism and the trust in humans and in rationality is more important than maybe ever any time before.
Beautiful. So thank you very much. I'm glad I asked you. Okay. I wish you a good day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye-bye.